Mike, thanks very much to everybody associated with CEDAR and Leighton's and Parsons Brinkhoff, the sponsors for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Let me acknowledge everybody as a distinguished guest, but as I've glanced around the room, a number of people who I can refer to as friends, both existing contractors to government, some lobbyists to government, and we have a lobbyist code of conduct now, so I better slip that in as well. Some current public servants, some former public servants, and as I say, a number of people who I can consider to be friends, and that makes it much easier. I've made a New Year's resolution which I'm about to break. I was going to stop making this point, but I just want to let you all know that I ceased being the Lord Mayor of Wollongong in 1999, not in 2009 or not in 2008. Some of you picked up the nuance of that, some of you didn't, so I better stick with the New Year's resolution and stop drawing attention to the shenanigans of my successors that led to events last year. It is indeed always a pleasure to talk to industry and to the community about the government's initiatives, about its approach, and about the challenges and responsibilities that we have. I've had the privilege to do that in the areas of small business and regional development as a minister, in the area of water utilities as a minister, and as police minister prior to becoming the Minister for Transport last year. I think I'm over the vertical learning curve as the Minister for Transport now, but that's not to say it's still not an extremely steep learning curve. But what we do know is that transport is the key to so much of the economic and social life here in Australia, indeed in Sydney, our harbour city. More Sydneysiders travel to work by public transport than in any other Australian capital. The government is determined to continually improve services to make it easier for commuters to choose public transport over driving their cars. Without a strong and robust public transport network in Sydney, the city simply can't operate efficiently. We understand that as a government. As a government, we are ensuring the future direction of our public transport is deliverable, and that requires good planning and good budgeting. We're focused on realistic transport solutions while continuing to improve the current transport services provided to our everyday commuters. I think an example of the current transport effort is that last financial year, RailCorp, City Rail, for example, saw a growth of over 5% of patronage compared to a long-term average of 1%. In the second half of last calendar year, we saw consistent performance of on-time running, and indeed over that last 6 months of last calendar year, 94% on-time running against a benchmark of 92% on-time running. And if you wanted to compare that performance with the previous benchmark, we met that benchmark for the whole of that 6 months as well. The second part of what we need to do is very important in my mind, and that is why we're working to improve accountability in the transport agencies as we strive to provide these better services and outcomes. So what's the strategy? As Minister for Transport, I fully appreciate the value of strategic urban planning to set the long-term direction for how the City of Sydney will grow and develop to accommodate changing needs. The framework for Sydney is set out in the 2005 Metropolitan Strategy, City of Cities, as well as the 10 draft sub-regional strategies, some of them confirmed, some still under development, and the Urban Transport Statement, and indeed the State Infrastructure Strategy. All these documents are designed to provide a robust framework within which to plan the future of Sydney and indeed the state. Indeed, a review is currently underway of the strategic planning directions of the Greater Metropolitan Region, including Sydney, the Central Coast, and the Lower Hunter and the Illawarra. Of course, that's important because these can't be static documents. You can't have adopted them a couple of years ago and then just ignore the fact that things do change. And so that sense of keeping those documents alive and relevant is underway. And of course, that will then help the government to make the decisions on land use and transport planning. More immediately, we have the Ministry of Transport working with various agencies to deliver a coordinated approach across the different areas, to ensure effective planning for urban transport projects. As well as operators, the Ministry works with the RTA, the Department of Planning, the Transport Infrastructure Development Corporation and local councils, to name just a few. The government, led by Nathan Rees, is working in partnership with the federal government on a range of transport proposals, which we will push for on the basis of Sydney's strategic significance and the importance of infrastructure projects to the national economy. We have submitted to Infrastructure Australia a range of projects for consideration, and we're hopeful that these projects will form part of New South Wales and indeed Australia's future urban transport agenda. Before I go to talk about some of those longer term strategies, can I just talk about some current initiatives? The $2.35 billion Epping to Chatswood rail line is set to provide direct access for the first time to the growing North Ryde Macquarie area and servicing three new underground stations at North Ryde Macquarie Park, Macquarie University, and we've seen the Chatswood and Epping stations have also been upgraded as part of this project. This week, This week we saw intensive training of train crews, both drivers and station staff and guards on that network, on that new line, and we anticipate, subject to there being no glitches, and there haven't been so far this week, we anticipate that the 22nd of February we'll see a shuttle service start on that long-awaited piece of important infrastructure. And I certainly look forward to being there on that day. And later in the year, we anticipate that we'll be able to integrate it into a broader network, the broader network, following the introduction of the 2009 City Rail timetable. That'll provide additional services. That will provide additional service on the Western Line and, of course, service those parts of Sydney that I just referred to that have never had a train service before. But as part of that, we need to acquire additional rail rolling stock. And you'll all be aware that there's a $3.6 billion contract for the provision of 626 rail carriages that has gone to tender. The contract let and construction is underway. Our anticipation is that the private sector partners will commence delivery in 2010 of those carriages. The government has committed $439 million to 122 outer suburban cars, the last of those to be delivered in just a few weeks. But as part of the mini-budget, we've committed to another package of outer suburban cars as well, and depending on the final price of those, we'd anticipate about 700 rail carriages to be delivered over the next few years in both the public-private partnership and the contract around those that further tranche of Oscars. To achieve maximum benefit from our expanding rail fleet, the government is investing in commuter car parks and bus rail interchanges in order to encourage commuters to continue what we've seen them do on the three modes, whether it's ferries, whether it's rail, as I mentioned, or whether it's buses. We're seeing strong growth in patronage numbers, and we want to continue to encourage that growth. All up, following a $56 million commitment in the recent mini-budget, over the next 3 years or so, we intend to construct 7,000 commuter car parking spaces, and Chris Locke and his team at Tiddick have been thrown the ball to run with to ensure that occurs. Major project at Holsworthy is underway, and a new project at Wentworth is also under construction. As I said, the government's taken initiatives to streamline some of the planning and approval process around that by giving Tiddick the responsibility for it. The government, as I said, has committed to a number of interchange projects and will get on and deliver those. We've also committed as part of the mini-budget $170 million for the purchase of an additional 300 buses, brought forward 150 high-capacity articulated buses for STA as part of the mini-budget as well. We've seen the introduction of the Metro 10 service as a trial, and we will see the further introduction of additional metro services in the coming year or so. Some new initiatives that we've introduced include the Family Fun Day Sunday ticket, which is attracting people to use the public transport network on Sundays, and City Rail and Sydney Buses are quite happy with the customer growth on those weekends, taking advantage of the infrastructure that we as taxpayers invest in, the rolling stock that we as taxpayers provide that was going to run anyway, and these families taking advantage of discounted tickets as they are on Sydney ferries. And indeed, the free CBD shuttle that's been in place since December has seen strong numbers using it. But to the future, I guess, and that brings me to the CBD Metro. Yes, there was a plan, a much vaunted plan, to run a metro from the CBD to the northwest of Sydney as part of taking some challenging, difficult, hard, tough, accurate, appropriate decisions, whatever term you want to use. The government has said what we can afford to build is a CBD metro, which would have effectively been part of a northwest metro in any case. We've, as you may have heard, appointed a strong leader in Les Walinga, stolen him from the RTA, and good news is Michael Daly and I still talk, the Roads Minister and I still talk. But Les Walinga will start Monday week, I think, formally as the CEO of the Sydney Metro Authority. So the government's established a standalone entity focused on the planning, construction and subsequent management of the CBD Metro. Obviously, we're in a negotiation with the Commonwealth as part of the Infrastructure Australia process to see that potentially expanded from just the CBD Metro to become the West Metro as well. And we look forward with some anticipation to that Infrastructure Australia announcement in a few weeks' time. The CBD Metro will operate between Central with stops at Town Hall, Martin Place, Barangaroo, Wynyard, Piermont and Roselle, with potential provision at White Bay for a station. There's potential built into the planning around this, as I said, to continue on a western alignment, and at some stage in the future I'd be extremely confident that it will continue on a northwestern alignment as well, although no one should take that to be me making some announcement about a budget allocation for that, and I just want to make that very clear. The Treasurer would be none too pleased. So the CBD Metro, with its own authority, is stuck into it. The Premier has made it clear to me that he anticipates, he expects that construction will start at 2010. I made it pretty clear to Les and a number of other people in this room that that's an important milestone that we have to meet, and that presents us with a challenge, an exciting challenge, and an important responsibility. Can I say, though, that metros are not the only important enhancements to Sydney's urban transport landscape. The New South Wales government is committed to making the state where business is supported to create economic prosperity, and our freight initiatives are one important way of achieving this as well. There's general consensus within the rail industry that reliable access into and out of the Sydney rail network is the greatest impediment to rail efficiency on the East Coast. The major freight flows up and down the East Coast involve Sydney as either the origin or destination, and significantly more so than the flows occurring between Brisbane and Melbourne. The New South Wales government is committed to moderating road congestion by encouraging the use of freight rail through Sydney. This was reinforced with the announcement that the government would proceed with a freight terminal at Enfield and would engage with the Commonwealth to establish another terminal on the fence land at Moorbank. I expect some advancement in the Moorbank cooperation with the government in the next couple of months. Again, that's not to make an announcement, but in terms of moving that forward, we're certainly engaged with the Commonwealth to get on with that. I shan't take a lot of time to talk about the Port Botany expansion, but needless to say, there's a strong investment in that project as part of this effort to improve the freight task and the freight infrastructure. I do want to take the opportunity to assure you all that the government's aim for 2009 is to positively move forward with delivering better and more suitable transport to both business and the people of New South Wales. The short-term gains are obvious, with more buses, more commuter car parks, improved interchanges to ease crowding on our busy public transport routes, to reduce the number of cars travelling into the city. In the longer term, integrated land and transport planning, the CBD metro, rail freight projects, along with the provision of a number of projects with the assistance of the Commonwealth, will provide benefits to both industry and commuters for years to come. I'm sure you're all aware the government is working in a tough economic climate, but investment in current and future urban transport projects will enable improved services and capacity levels. Notwithstanding the current economic climate, there is a $56 billion capital budget that the government's committed to over the next 4 years. I want to assure you that the New South Wales government is working hard to deliver a better, safer and more responsive public transport network that contributes to the immediate and longer term well-being of certainly Sydney but also New South Wales. Hopefully that's gone some way to setting the scene for today, and that remains to be seen, but I do appreciate the opportunity to make those remarks, and I trust that they've been of some help and indeed been a bit coherent and make some sense to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Minister.